Thursday, August 28th, Michael Hurkacz just said, you shouldn't own Adam Wainwright. He's terrible. I never know when Hurk's kidding, so.
I did it with such a straight face.
Yeah, you sold it. You are kidding, right?
Of course, I'm kidding.
Okay, woo. Welcome.
I saw the first note in the rundown today, and I figured sending panic into all fantasy owners, so if I had to play the bad guy, I would.
So you mean like NL-only leagues, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, Adam Wainwright's got a dead arm. We'll talk about that. A lot of stuff going on in the bullpen. Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. David Price, Yasiel Puig. Let's get right to it as Michael Hurkacz's back.
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright, dead arm, and last eight starts, 4.68 ERA, only 35 strikeouts in 50 innings. Start or sit going forward next week, Al. He's got two starts, yes?
He does.
Definite start then.
And they are against Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. Pittsburgh at home, Milwaukee on the road. Start or sit Wainwright?
I say start him. But I really struggled with this, and the tiebreaker for me, Yachty's coming back.
Would you go with like a one-start Mike Fiers over a two-start Adam Wainwright?
No, I wouldn't do that, but that's as much about me not completely trusting Fiers as me having a little bit of doubt about Wainwright, but not that much doubt.
So you think it's a catcher thing? That's a huge difference for him.
There was a piece on FanGraphs about it yesterday, and it was they weren't making the argument that this is definitively the problem, but just showing that it's highly coincidental what's going on here.
But I don't get that because the dead arm is clearly the problem. No,
I think it's a problem. I think it's a problem. But and also Wainwright says he feels like he's coming out of it. So
yeah.
Either theory or both theory points to hopefully some improvement in September.
How about a market correction? Just for the fact, he's now got a 2.59 ERA. I mean, maybe it was just due for a little regression.
I would buy that if he was maintaining the whiff rate, but something was just not right there with Wainwright.
Yeah, and I've seen him throwing, 89 consistently, so his velocity's down. I mean, I definitely believe that the dead arm thing could be a big factor here, so. Two starts next week. Al says start him. I'm starting him, Herc.
Yep, start him.
Start him up. Actually, a lot of Cardinals news today. Yadier Molina could be back tomorrow. And Michael Wacha will make a rehab start Sunday. So he could be on the way back maybe mid-September?
That sounds about right.
And there's no timetable for Anibal Sanchez's return. He had a setback. He has a right pectoral strain.
As you crane your neck to see how the Tigers are doing against your Yankees.
I'm not really seeing how the Tigers are doing.
I believe on the last...
Oh, yeah, same game.
The last podcast I was on at the beginning of last week, I had mentioned, is it time to potentially drop Anibal Sanchez for the fact that at that time he may have not been back till mid-September, and if you needed to win now and you didn't have a DL spot, you should probably consider making, especially if Mike Fiers was out there, that could help you get into playoffs and maybe help you in the early round of the playoffs too.
Yeah, that's the thing is, who is it that's going to be out there that
Carrasco.
You have to make room for?
Two-start Carrasco.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. There's a lot of good two-star pitchers out there.
Yeah.
If you got, all right, fine. Two-start guy that you want to start this week, would you drop Anibal Sanchez? I think you definitely could.
Well, I guess
I think you could drop him. I think you'd drop Tanaka. You can obviously drop Darvish.
You could drop Tanaka.
You got to win.
Yeah.
You got to win, Melchior.
Al and I are on the different spectrums of the chasing the hot streak. You're still more conservative at this point about that. I'm just all about chase the hot streak this time of year.
Look,
so,
I'm really conservative about that. I'm a little less now
than
I probably would other times a year. But, it's all a question of what your alternatives are. And, there's a scenario where I drop Tanaka, where I drop Sanchez, where I'd pick up a hot player, Steve Pierce. I've not really been a believer in Steve Pierce, but I've picked him up in a couple of leagues because I didn't feel like I had to give up that much to get him in there.
Absolutely.
So I'm still pretty conservative with that, but I will take the chance if I'm not really liking my alternatives.
Hey, did you see what happened to David Price yesterday? Here's your stat of the day, people. Price gave up 9 hits in a row yesterday against the Yankees and gave up 8 runs on 12 hits in 2-plus innings. From John Heyman, the approximate odds to record 9 straight hits against David Price, considering a .237 batting average against coming in, as the Yankees did, 1 in 43,478.
That's it.
That's an unlucky day.
It was an unlucky day.
And the last guy to do it, which I think was 25 years ago, was Bob Forsch, who was a pretty good pitcher. I don't know if that was a good year for him or not, but
Herc, do you know who Bob Forsch is?
I don't know, and I probably would have said Bob Forsche or something like that.
Yeah, okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one who didn't know who that was, so I don't feel stupid. Yeah, we're not worried about Price, right? I mean, a lot of those hits were, you know, none of them left the ballpark. There were some doubles in there, but some of them were, like, there was an infield hit. There were some seeing eye singles. It was just incredibly unlucky. It probably should have been more like a four-run inning.
You wonder how much that, like, affected his mentality on the mound. Like, if it was just him or just really just unlucky, like, he was still pitching pretty well.
Yeah, but no qualms about starting him or anything going forward. Okay. Just making sure. Wednesday standouts. Haven't heard from you in a while, Herc. Who's a standout for you, good or bad?
Well, I wanted to talk about Drew Smyly because he's been on a run of good starts, and I wanted to see what he said about, you know, about this. And he's basically just said, threw his hands up in the air. He said, look, everything, you know, he gave a reason. He said, everything feels like, you know, it's coming out of my hand better. I'm throwing better. Maybe the trade kind of like woke him up and kind of just, you know, gave him the extra edge to go out there and attack hitters. You know, the Rays do have a good history of developing pitchers. Maybe they found something early on. But even Joe Maddon's like, he's just executing right now.
All right, well, we could paint this a couple different ways for Smyly. He's been pretty streaky all year. So five starts with Tampa Bay, 1.50 ERA, and the last four in particular have been awesome.
Yes.
He had a four-start stretch in June with a 1.44 ERA, even better than this. But then he stunk in most of his next seven starts. But that's the bad way to look at it. The good way to look at it is that four-start stretch, even though the ERA was lower, the games just weren't as good. I mean, he's going seven innings every time out at least. He wasn't pitching quite this well. So this is the best stretch that we've seen from
Drew
Smyly.
And what about the innings limit? The Tigers were talking about shutting him down about 150. Are the Rays even considering that, or are they just going to let him pitch through the rest of the year?
I have to think they're considering that. I haven't seen or read anything,
right.
But I would be surprised.
Well, he's at 141 and a third right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got more than two starts left,
right.
But I would expect some sort of limit, and I could see some sort of regression coming too for Smyly. I mean, you know, maybe it is a breakout, but you know, we've talked a bit about Jake Odorizzi, and is he really must start? And he got shelled last time out at Baltimore. And I put Smyly in kind of a similar category, you know, a fly ball guy who could certainly strike batters out. But, yeah, I think he could still get lit up.
Sure.
Boston and Baltimore next week. Starters hit Smyly.
I would start him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy I'd drop Sanchez for.
I mean, you ride the hot streak. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
I, you know, if it's a week where, you know, a head-to-head where I've got to win.
Yeah.
I could.
You got to win, Melchior.
I still own.
You keep saying that.
I still own Kyle Hendricks over Drew Smyly, though. I'm still on the Kyle Hendricks bandwagon, even though his last start didn't go as well before he left after two innings. But
that leaves Smyly for me. I'd rather have Smyly.
Jorge Soler, guys, 59% owned. How owned should he be? He homered yesterday in his first at bat as a Cub, went 2-for-4.
I'll admit this. I asked Al before we get on the podcast. Is it Soler?
Yeah, it's Soler.
I told him it was George Soler.
George Soler. Insurance agent. Yeah, Jorge Soler, Herc. Is he a must-add?
Yeah, you know, in our 16-team league we're in, we're both in the playoffs, I picked up Jock Peterson a few weeks ago because I wasn't really buying into Scott White. Scott White's been on Soler for a long time now, and he's saying, you know, Adam, stash him. I went with Jock Peterson when they said he was going to come up in September, which is still going to happen, but now I regret it. I wish I wouldn't have picked up this guy instead.
Would you rather have Torii Hunter or Jorge Soler?
Jorge Soler.
I would, too.
Would you rather have J.D. Martinez or Jorge Soler?
I think I'd rather have Martinez.
Me, too.
Pretty close, though.
Yeah.
Really? That close? Because I think Martinez is an absolute must-start.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I've been on that for a month, so.
Yeah, and that's the difference. I wouldn't call Soler a must-start. I would in Roto. I think he's more kind of fringy in a points league. Three outfielder league, but he's pretty close to must start.
Adam picked up Martinez when he went on waivers in the 16-team league.
I already told this story. You lucky jerk. If I play you next week and you beat me because J.D. Martinez is better than J.D. Martin, the pitcher who's in Korea right now that I picked up.
Quick side tangent, because Jamie and I already had this conversation today. So he says, if we meet in the playoffs and you guys beat me, you know, my cube's getting decorated. And I said, it has to be J.D. Martinez, because if he does badly, and you guys win, my cube gets decorated. If he does well, I decorate your cubes because you missed the pickup on him. So
yeah, we didn't. I wouldn't say we missed the pickup on him. Yeah. We just prioritized a reliever instead. Chris Carter, dude. He's got 20 home runs in his last 45 games. He has 3 home runs in his last 3 games. He basically doesn't do anything other than homer when he gets a hit. It's just like it's all he does. So, yeah, what do you think about Chris Carter? He's just unstoppable right now.
Yeah, this is probably one of the players I would pick up if I had some deadwood on the roster and needed a push.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you're too late.
Yeah.
He's basically universally owned at this point.
Well, another thing is, was there any concern? Because he was coming off, like, a 2-for-20 slump or something, and then he homers Monday.
Well, he homered Sunday.
Sunday, right.
Homered
Sunday,
Tuesday,
yeah.
And Wednesday.
So
I think he had 2 hits last week, and they were both homers. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, I was about to drop him in the AL-only league, but I didn't have to play this week, so I kept him on my bench.
AL-only? You don't drop?
There was like a pitcher I wanted to pick up. I just wanted to streamline all my pitchers, so I wanted another pitcher on my bench. But I think, thankfully, I didn't have to play this week because he would have been on waivers. So,
who else? Anybody else?
Yeah. Let's talk a little Josh Reddick.
Oh, okay.
You know what he did not do yesterday?
Walk.
Home run.
Well, those are both true, but he did not strike out. And he has not struck out pretty much since he got off the DL 5 weeks ago. 7 times.
Yeah, it's impressive.
7 times. So I looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a little less of the swing and miss thing. But basically, he's just become hyper-aggressive.
All right.
He's hacking at everything. Not taking strikes. But the results have been great. Hitting over 300. 6 home runs, 8 doubles. This is not including yesterday, but it looks like he didn't get any extra base hits yesterday. So, six homers, 8 doubles in about 5 weeks, and a 300-plus average.
Didn't Billy Bean / Brad Pitt come down to the front office and tell him we're all about taking pitches here in Oakland?
Apparently, he's not listening.
All right.
He's getting his Coke out of a different machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Herc, I wanted to apologize to you.
Yes.
Chris Carter did homer Monday. I thought it was Monday. So he's homered Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
That's the first time Adam's ever apologized to me, by the way, and we have it on air now. So
that's right. We'll get edited out, but
yeah, totally rescinding that. Would you rather have Chris Carter or Josh Reddick?
I would rather have Josh Reddick. Give me the power and the batting average.
What about Chris Carter's dual eligibility? Doesn't that play into it at all?
Nah.
Interesting.
Would you drop Brandon Moss for Josh Reddick?
I don't think I'd do that.
Moss has been bad lately.
Sitting a lot now for lefties.
Again, it's a case where you say maybe you need the hot hand to get you through to the next week. But if I get through the next week, I want Moss on my roster in case he snaps out of it.
Sure.
Hey, Yasiel Puig, since June 1st, that's 3 months, 269 with 2 home runs and 19 RBI for Puig. 39 runs and 3 steals in 6 attempts. Walk to strikeout ratio is fine. 18 doubles, 6 triples. He is, however, 0 for his last 16, batting .221 in August. And since June 1st, he's not even a top 50 outfielder. He's 50th in points. He's 71st in Roto. So this is a long, long time now of being bad.
All right, so that's 18 doubles, and that's, you said, since
6 triples.
Yeah.
Since June 1st.
Since June 1st. So, yeah, almost 3 months. But that's, yeah, I mean, still, you prorate that. That's a lot of doubles and triples.
Sure.
And he's been not pulling the ball as much. He's been hitting a lot of balls to center field. And the thing is, he's hitting them deep. So if he so chooses, I mean, he could have home run power.
You don't think pitchers have maybe figured out how to throw to him a little bit better?
No, because I think if that were the case, I think he'd be making even more outs, and he wouldn't have as many doubles and triples.
Sure.
All that said, top 50th and 71st in outfield ranking since June 1st. So, I mean, you can have all the doubles and triples you want. If the guy doesn't hit home runs, he doesn't steal bases, what kind of roto values does Yasiel Puig have?
I think he's got, top 20 outfielder value. I feel like that's conservative because it's just, I think the home run power is going to come. He has the ability. I think he's going to drive in more runs. He's going to hit for a better average for sure. I mean, if you look over the, now close to 2 years of playing,
sure,
he's a 300 hitter.
Yeah, I mean, hitters go through long stretches sometimes where it's the numbers don't quite look right, but
sure. I have bullpen questions for you. Do you think Brett Cecil will become the Blue Jays closer?
Kind of have a hunch that he will, but I have no evidence to back it up.
Well, he got the save yesterday.
But he did get the save yesterday, and Casey Jansen's just not been good.
Not at all. 7.98 ERA since the All-Star break. Herc, do you think he'll be the Blue Jays closer, Brett Cecil?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Turf power.
Would you pick Hector Rondon up?
Yes. I wrote about it this week in Waiver Wire. Rick Renteria says when he was having, I guess, a little bit of a rough spell a few weeks ago, and actually about 2-3 months ago now, that he says hitters were picking up on his fastball. So he started mixing in his pitches, especially his slider. He's thrown a slider over 23% of the time in the last 2 months, and he's just been lights out. So they're saying mixing up his pitches has been great for him.
One earned run in 18 innings since the All-Star break and 8 saves in the last 2 weeks. Francisco Rodriguez, do you think he's in danger of losing his closer's job? He's given up 3 solo homers in 4 games, and K-Rod has given up 12 home runs this year.
You know, it hasn't even really occurred to me, but he hasn't been good for a while.
No, he has not, but he hasn't blown many saves. Yesterday, he blew his first save in a month, so it's one of those Jose Valverde deals, right, where he struggled.
you beat me to it by about 2 seconds.
Yeah, but yesterday was a blown save, and they're in a pennant race. What do you think? K-Rod.
Ugh, I mean, who would they go to? And I mean, this guy's got so much experience pitching in high-leverage situations, and they need him down the stretch. Can you really afford in a pennant race to make a change at closer?
Will Smith were pitching like first half.
I mean, the Cardinals did last year, and that worked out just fine for them.
True,
but
they did do that.
But I think that was a different situation, and you had Rosenthal in the wings.
Do you think Santiago Casillas is in danger of losing his job?
I think he could be. I'm really not that interested in him at this point. I mean, I wasn't that high on him to begin with, but now that he's struggling.
Do you think Chad Qualls is in danger of losing his job?
I thought they should have traded him and made the move to Josh Fields at the trade deadline. So, look, they couldn't work out a deal with the Tigers. They told him they'd keep him around. I mean, what kind of message does that send if you kept the guy and you don't keep him in the closer's role?
I agree. Yeah. I totally disagree with you. I think they should have traded him and put Jose Veras in the role.
Oh, okay.
Really? Jake Petrichka has given up 5 earned runs in his last 2 appearances. Who's going to be the White Sox closer next month?
It's time for Zach Putnam now, or maybe Matt Lindstrom. I don't know. Don't care either.
I like how you said next month, and next month's only like a few days away. So very well played, sir.
Thank you. Is Eric O'Flaherty the guy to own right now for the A's?
I think he is.
Or for fantasy owners on the A's. Not fantasy owners who play baseball.
Yeah, that's a little conflict of interest there.
You know, A's reliever would you want to own right now?
I was going to say Bob Melvin plays fantasy baseball, and they said, this is how he set my lineup.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Whatever ODB says, I'm with.
All right, so Gregerson pitched in the 8th 2 days ago, gave up a 3-run homer to Chris Carter. O'Flaherty pitched in the 9th yesterday, gave up a solo homer to Chris Carter, and he got his first save. And Steve Cishek and Houston Street pitched last night in non-save situations, just getting some work in. Injuries, news, and notes. Matt Garza could be back Monday, and our best bet is Jimmy Nelson. Anthony Rizzo, if you haven't been following, our best bet is Jimmy Nelson to leave the rotation for Garza.
Do I have to say it?
You're not right about Anthony Rizzo. He had a good start.
No. Jimmy Nelson.
I'm sorry. You're not right about Jimmy Nelson. He pitched fine.
He pitched fine, but not as
okay. It wasn't a good start. Yeah. But you don't get the gloat. Anthony Rizzo was out Wednesday. Didn't start today due to a back injury. Adrian Gonzalez, stiff neck. Albert Pujols, minor calf issue. Do you guys think Drew Pomeranz could get his way back into the rotation for Oakland?
I definitely think he could, and I'm not saying he will, but. Mm-hmm. Jason Hamill, his ERA over the last few starts notwithstanding, still just not that sharp.
Yeah.
Let's play a game.
And, you know, you got to win, Bob Melvin.
You do. Let's play a game. Right now it is the 6th inning of the Yankees-Tigers game. And it's 2-2. It's the bottom of the 6th. Cabrera's the leadoff hitter. Who scores next, Yankees or Tigers?
I'm going to say Tigers. Yeah, also helps that the Tigers are up.
Let's go Tigers.
Okay. I'll take the Yankees just to play devil's advocate.
I'm going to say it's J.D. Martinez, too.
I'm going to say
his home run or whatever.
I'm going to say Brett Gardner drives in a run. Al?
That's your boy.
Yeah, I hate to get the answers already out there, but I think it is J.D. Martinez.
All right.
James Paxton was sent to the minors, but he'll be back up very shortly. He won't miss a start.
Going to see a lot of that this week.
James Paxton's awesome.
Two starts next week, too.
Yep. Willian Rosario on the DL with wrist inflammation, and catcher Jackson Williams was called up.
I don't know why. Always makes me think of Jackson Pollock.
Makes me think of Jackson Brown.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Makes me think of Jackson, Mississippi.
Perfect.
Mike, I'm getting some Mike McKendry questions, and for I just call him McKendry. I put a D in there. Mike McKendry.
You just herked it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
No, I would have made him French.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. McHenry.
Yeah, there we go. McHenry. But no, he should be picked up in two catcher leagues, McHenry.
Boston outfielder Rusne Castillo obtained his work visa, so now he can play in games. Hyunjin Ryu should come off the DL. I read Sunday, and then I read early next week. Do we know, Ryu?
We don't know for sure.
Travis Snyder left Wednesday's game with hamstring tightness. We know Chad Qualls won't be dealt to the Tigers. Yan Gomes expected back Friday. Adam Eaton, 66% owned. He's back. He has three hits, a double, and a triple, and three runs scored in two games. Is he under-owned?
I think so. He's a sneaky option, especially in points leagues.
Points leagues, Eaton or Crisp?
I'm going Eaton.
I'll go Eaton, too.
Eaton or Soler?
I like Soler's upside.
I'll take Soler, too, even the points leagues.
Oh, we're not playing for upside now. You got to win.
I mean, look what he's done over such a long stretch, even in the minors. It's yeah.
That's fine with me. Yordano Ventura missed yesterday's start with back soreness. Are you interested in Liam Hendricks?
Ale only.
Alex Rios missed yesterday's game. He has that lingering thumb issue. He will continue to pitch with it, or to hit with it. Brett Gardner returned to the Yankees lineup and batted eighth, went 1-for-4 yesterday, and he's in the lineup again today. Andrew McCutchen left Tuesday's game but came back on Wednesday. Oh, boy. Oh, all right.
Adam's been watching the game. This podcast
is on
hold.
That's okay. I got this. Pedro Alvarez is in a walking boot. He has a foot injury. David Wright was out Wednesday with a neck injury. Daniel Murphy is day-to-day with a calf injury. D. Gordon started against a lefty again. David Ortiz returned to the lineup. Let's go three up, three down, four-man rotation, fringy starting pitchers, deep leagues, and then emails. Buster Posey. Remember when we did our busts podcast?
Yes.
And we talked about Posey?
I just would like to point out, I did get an angry email from Twitter from somebody the other day saying they don't like when we yell at each other and elevate our voices. But that was one out of like 6,000 people. So I'm going to continue to do it.
Everybody should know that it's good nature.
It is. It's good fun.
I like everybody on the shows except for Herc.
You're not the first person to say that today.
Did 6,000 people tweet you and say, you know, we love the yelling and the screaming, or are you just taking their silence as...
Yes, as an acceptance. Yes. In that case, 6 million.
That is
so,
the
you know.
Same. That is the same. Buster Posey, 3 home runs in his last 2 games, 5 home runs in his last 7 games, 292 average, 18 homers, 68 RBI. That makes him number 2 in Roto at catcher behind Lucroy. And basically tied for second with Carlos Santana in points leagues behind Lucroy. Yeah, he's once again, he's looking like a stud at the position.
No arguments here. You know, I was on the, I wasn't calling him a bust back then. I still don't call him a bust.
He was a bust back then.
But he's proved not to be.
Well, again, it wasn't a forecast into the future. It was just a statement of fact. At that point, he had been a bust.
Yeah, we botched that podcast because we didn't define what we were talking about at the time.
Oh, your boy J.D. Martinez just struck out.
Next time up, though, right? Tie game.
That's right.
So,
not unless Brett Gardner's up. I guess there wasn't much to say about Posey. Leonis Martin is 53% owned. Last 14 games, he's batting .440.
Well, all right, I'll say this about Posey. Have you noticed he's playing a lot more first base lately? So maybe the wear and tear is not a big factor and he can...
Could be.
So...
Leonis Martin, .440 in his last 14 games, 53% owned. And he batted leadoff on Wednesday, which you know I think is huge. Martin or Eaton?
Eaton.
Eaton.
What do you think about Leonis Martin?
I mean, you said 3 steals during that span. And I mean, I shouldn't be breaking down steals over a 2-week period. But that, you know, it just, if he's not stealing a lot, I'm not that interested.
Yeah, his thing was, and this is a market correction. He was hitting so bad for such a long stretch. And what Ron Washington was saying is, look, he's chasing everything. I mean, I got to teach him to stop doing it. So, you know, if he stopped doing what was plaguing him, then maybe we should start warming up to him. But I'm not ready at that point yet. So,
how do you read all this stuff?
I just do my best.
Torrey Hunter is 3-up number 3. He has a 9-game hitting streak, batting .500 in his last 4 games with 6 RBI. He scored 6 runs and has 3 doubles during the 9-game hitting streak. But you guys said you dropped him for Solaire. Do you see Hunter in a 5 outfielder league as a must-own guy?
Yeah, somebody's got to own him in that format. If it's me and I can get Solaire, you know, that's I might be happy with somebody else owning him, but yeah, he is.
Torrey Hunter reminds me a lot of just like David Peralta. He's a nice option to own, but if there's somebody else out there you want, you can make that move.
Well, I mean, there's some little differences, but, you know, the lineup is such a big difference.
Yes,
for Hunter.
But, I mean, Peralta, to me, like, he's had, and I did it the last 12 weeks, he's been under 10 fantasy points 3 times. So he's just reliable. He's not fantastic, though.
3 down, Matt Adams.
You don't want to talk about Peralta anymore?
No, I do. But not now. Off the air. 3 down, Matt Adams batting .250 with 1 homer in his last 29 games. Michael Brantley's batting .206 with 2 homers and 2 steals in his last 18 games. And Carlos Gomez is 0-for-9 with 6 strikeouts in his last 2 games, batting .242 in August, but still top 10 outfielder in August, technically 11th in points, 7th in Roto. So any concerns at all about Adams, Brantley, or Go-Go?
Not really. With Adams, it's probably the most concerning.
Sure.
Because other than a very brief period, he just hasn't delivered on the power that I thought that he would have this year. So it makes me wonder going into next year if it's at all realistic to think he could be even a 30 home run guy, much less the 40 home run guy I thought he had a chance of being this year. I think Brantley has proven himself at this point. Now, I don't think this is going to change his value.
Or Gomez. But, the interesting point you make about Adams is, you know, when he's coming through the minors and he had all these home run powers, he still wasn't getting the respect he earned because the scouts were concerned about him being an everyday, you know, player in the majors and wonder if this would translate. So maybe their concerns are real.
How about we go on to the 4-man rotation?
How about it?
Wait, would you sit Matt Adams for Steve Pierce?
Nah, I wouldn't.
I would right now. Chase the hot streak.
4-man rotation.
You got to win. I guess I got to lose.
Begins with Julio Teheran, who's pitching just fine over his last 3 games, but he has 5 walks, 8 strikeouts, and 18 and a third in his last 3 starts.
It's very weird how the strikeouts for brief periods do seem to go away for him, for Teheran.
Yeah, sure.
But he always manages to find that groove again, so I can't say I'm really concerned.
How about Doug Fister? Anybody concerned about him?
No.
Two bad ones in a row with 4 home runs allowed in his last 2 starts and now tying a career high with 15 homers allowed.
No, I'll consider 2 bad starts.
No, I'm with Herc on that.
How about Corey Kluber? Are you worried about fatigue with Kluber? He's thrown 192 and 2/3 innings, and Kluber threw 147 and a third last year, so he's 45 innings more already this year.
You know, I am, and it's not really because of the results, because the last 2 starts haven't been quite up to par for Kluber, but he set the bar so high. If you gave these 2 starts to anybody else, you'd be like, oh, it's a pretty good start. But yeah, the innings thing does concern me a little bit with him, that it could go downhill from here perhaps.
And our next guy in the rotation is Giovanni Gallardo. Gallardo had an interesting line in Wednesday's game at San Diego. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs. That's awesome. 3 walks. That's okay. Not great. And 0 strikeouts. Did you know he is the number 42 starting pitcher in points leagues this year? And I didn't see where he ranks at starting pitcher, but he's the number 84 overall pitcher in Roto.
I did know that because I was a Gallardo fan from the beginning. And him and Cologne, I just say, do they just get the side, quietly get the job done? They don't look the stat line. If you're looking at fantasies, there's no strikeouts. What I like about it, but I still think it was like a 16-point performance in fantasy without the, because he got the quality start and without the, you know, strikeouts. So
and without a win,
yeah. it's interesting. We had this conversation yesterday, if you remember, out there. We were talking about Jimmy Nelson and how just San Diego, you know, he had a lot of strikeouts, but he didn't have a great start. And Scott was like, you know, San Diego's not the slam dunk team they used to be, even though they really have nobody in that lineup. But they're actually doing, you know, you can't just consider I'm starting them every weekend in San Diego and it's going to be a good, you know, good outing for this pitcher.
I'd like to think it will be.
Maybe it would be a good outing, not a great outing like it used to be. So,
all right, fringy starting pitchers. Wade Miley. You know, these are pretty much all guys we're going to talk about tomorrow when we look at two-star pitchers. But
that's what often happens when you look at guys who start on Wednesday.
To get people ahead of the game, Wade Miley, Hector Santiago, Shane Green, Jeff Locke, Kevin Gausman. Al, who do you recommend? Miley, Santiago, Shane Green, Locke, and Gausman.
Well, I won't recommend Locke because he's only right now supposed to make one start. I mean, in deeper leagues, he'll be okay with one start.
So you're not going to lock it down?
I'm not going to lock it down. He may lock the hitters down.
Where do you come up with this stuff, man?
You get the day going, rolling, brain gets started, so, you know.
I like Miley and Green the best out of these guys.
In that order?
Yes, in that order.
You know, if Adam and I make it into the next round of the playoffs, he's going to say, Al said start Green, and we're going to start Green for the first time all season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I actually thought about that. I don't know. I like him in a vacuum, but we have good pitching, so. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you're not playing in a vacuum. You're playing in your playoffs.
I was going to say, is he trapped in the vacuum?
So it's two road starts for Miley. Yeah. Just to, so this doesn't get completely derailed here with all sorts of vacuum talk.
Is that good for Miley? Two road starts?
That's very good for Miley.
All right.
At San Diego and at the Dodgers.
Yes.
Deep leagues. Any interest in Tomas Tatis, Texas catcher? Texas Ranger?
No.
Ike Davis? Hector Noesi or Odrysa Merdespagne?
How do you feel about Despagne these days, Herc?
Yeah, still don't like him.
How are you pronouncing it these days?
Despinage.
Okay.
So.
Despinage. Injuries, news, and notes, part deux. Noah Syndergaard could be called up to pitch out of the bullpen in September. Jed Lowrie could begin a minor league rehab assignment this weekend. He has a finger injury. Juan Uribe likely to be activated Sunday. Patrick Corbin, remember him? He may not be back until May or June next season for the Diamondbacks. Xander Bogaerts could be back Saturday. Jorge De La Rosa will make his next start despite a thumb issue. Colton Wong sat against the lefty yesterday. The Cubs placed outfielders Justin Ruggiano and Ryan Sweeney on the DL. David Peralta thankfully sat against the lefty yesterday. That lefty was Clayton Kershaw. And Colby Rasmus has been out with an illness.
You know, the Syndergaard thing is kind of interesting. Not so much on its own, but the pattern that Aaron Sanchez was called up.
Sure.
And now, you know, Daniel Norris, there's some talking. He'll be called up, but put in the bullpen.
Stroman.
Syndergaard, the bullpen.
Right? Stroman went to the bullpen earlier this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, people now are wanting to know who are the impact call-ups. And Jack Peterson, you know, is supposed to be in a part-time role.
Right.
I still think there's an opportunity there where, you know, he could get more playing time.
Me too, man.
But, you know, there's not anybody to get really fired up over, I don't think. You know, that now that Solera's up, maybe Castillo.
Yeah.
Of the pitchers, we got a question about this on Fantasy Baseball Today. I think Heaney actually probably has the best chance because the Marlins rotation at this point is screaming for some kind of help with Eovaldi and Hand not pitching well lately. And Heaney pitching very well at AAA.
I mean,
but
I
not a lot of guys get excited about it, I don't think.
No, and even the Mariners are talking about a six-man rotation, which plagues me, and it's, you know, Erasmo Ramirez is the guy they're talking about, maybe the sixth guy, but
got clobbered again yesterday.
Yeah. Well, Tywin Walker needs innings too, so maybe is he a potential sixth guy, but he's been so up and down this year, is it really another guy?
Yeah, not really that interested in picking him up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, where was I? Xander Bogaerts? I finished that section.
I don't want to rat you out. I mean, like, Adam was sleeping during, like, that whole segment.
Hey, Herc, what are you saying? You mean we read some emails.
I am sorry, guys. I am.
He's like, it's like, let's Alan and Herc go. And
I was so happy that Al started talking.
No, I thought you'd fallen asleep.
No, I didn't fall asleep. I just, it's been a really tough month. Yeah, I mean, it's baseball and football right now going on at the same
time. It's the bad part of the Venn diagram for you.
All right, so
no, I got.
Are you sure?
Matt P. I needed a minute break there. Matt P. in Louisiana. Look, I am really sorry. It seems so unprofessional. I really put so much energy into all the shows.
Oh, you do, my friend.
And we have a lot of shows. And these football video shows are marathons. They're like an hour and 45 minutes every day, and we didn't have one today, but still. It's
draft season.
It's been a long week. I'm Matt P. in Louisiana. Sorry for my subject line rudeness last week. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Yeah. I called him out for it.
And are we sure it's Louisiana and not L.A.?
Yeah, he's from Houma.
Okay. Oh, it's okay.
That's our boy.
Gotcha.
I was just trying to grab your attention. So, 5x5 categories league. I have Neil Walker and Danny Santana at second base and short. I'd like to add another player with decent power and stolen base potential for that playoff push. I'm thinking of dropping Neil Walker for Ackley or Alcantara, or would I be better off staying with Walker, or is there another sleeper who's a better option that might be available that I'm overlooking?
It's so funny. I got this question on Twitter. I don't know if it's the same guy. He was saying he needs stolen bases, and he says, should I drop Walker for Ackley? And I said, I'm the only one here that has no problem with Ackley. And then I went and did like a little more research, and Ackley's recent surge has really got his numbers back up to where they've been in his career or they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much room he's got left now. I'm kind of concerned if this is the end of it. I think he's a better hitter, and if he's stealing bases and you need that, that's fine. Walker, I think Walker's still the safer pick out of those three, in my opinion.
I agree. I suppose if you need the steals, Alcantara might give you a better shot at that.
Mm-hmm.
I have him and Walker ranked pretty similarly. I wouldn't make the move myself. I would go safe.
Go Walker. Me too.
Chris in the ICT again, and I want to remind everyone that since our shows aren't coming to you as timely as they usually are, I'm going to do my best to read more emails and help people out as long as I can stay awake. Dear Herzog, that's a great trade. Dear Herzog, Frey, and Hauser.
All whiteies?
Maybe. Managers, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
12-team head-to-head points league with 30-man rosters. I'm in win-now mode, and I'm tired of all of Baez's golden sombreros. I'm also trying to replace the fallen Doolittle, so grade the trade. Give up Baez and Latos. This is a points league. Baez and Latos for Dozier and Hector Rondon. Hmm. He also has Cueto, Strasburg, Gray, Alex Wood, Fires, Cole, Minor, Kennedy, and McHugh. Looks like Latos is kind of expendable there.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be using Latos with that staff either. I like it. I think you get a clear upgrade from Baez to Dozier, and you get a really good closer in Rondon for a pitcher that you're not going to use.
Fair enough, even coming off a 10-strikeout performance.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? This is Al's 23rd week on the show, and he's a really good grade the trader, but he very often forgets to give a grade.
So what are you trying
even
to say?
Even a tired Adam got that one.
What's the grade, guys?
It's a B.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. Sure.
Okay, now second follow-up question here. Those were managers. They all manage the same team.
Detroit?
No.
No, the Royals, right?
There you go.
Okay, close.
From Parker, 12-team keeper league, where we could keep up to three. Unfortunately, if you keep someone that counts as your first, second, and third round pick, I would assume this means you would only be keeping people in your top 36. Do you think I should keep anyone from my roster this year or just start over? I had people like Longoria, Kipnis, Moss, Springer, Darvish, and Fielder. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I think I'd start over. Darvish probably is in my top 36.
Yeah.
Kipnis probably will be, but they're questionable enough to me. I think I would just start over.
No consideration for Fielder.
Especially since, your number one guy really...
pick? You don't need to take Fielder as a third round pick.
Yeah, and your number one pick, for that, you really should have a top 12 guy here.
Sure.
And I don't see anybody close to a top 12 guy here.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I interpret it as you keep one guy and it counts as three picks. As he wrote, unfortunately. But no, you keep one guy, it's your first. Two guys, your first and second. Three guys, your first, second, third. Still, don't keep anyone.
So Longoria is still not a... Oh, so it has to. If you're taking your one guy, he's your first pick.
I think so, yeah.
And second. What happens if you took Darvish? and he could be a potential first round pick. And it wasn't Longoria a top three pick?
I really feel like
that's all a stretch.
Okay,
like maybe if everything broke right,
you're not getting good value. You're getting like okay value for some of them.
All right, fair enough.
Boston, we go to Robert in Boston here. Like he's on the phone. Hello, Glenn, Allen, and Hill.
They're all parts of Glenn Allen Hill.
They're all parts of the same player, but can you name which one? I have a fantasy ethics question for you. I'm in first place in a categories league. I have clinched my spot. I matched up against the fifth place team. Four teams make the playoffs. Is it wrong for me to throw the game in order to face what I believe to be an inferior team in the playoffs?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
If you believe in karma.
I wouldn't do it. I don't like it. P.S. Tell Scott to keep up the Christopher Walken impression. If you do not know what I'm referring to, I'm sure your listeners do.
Did I miss a Christopher Walken impression?
I'm sure your listeners do. I don't know how to, I can't do Walken.
That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
Better than I could do.
Yeah.
And from DJ. Sorry.
Did he do it last week? Did I miss it?
I'm guessing it's an unintentional. Is that the implication here?
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Maybe.
Well, now we'll have to ask Scott, because I don't think he intended to.
I don't know. And from DJ, is Lorenzo Cain worth keeping in a categories league, or should I drop him for Abisayo Garcia, Steve Pierce, Aoki, or Ackley?
Yeah, I'd be fine with dropping him for maybe any of those players.
Yeah, I would too.
Pick one, you losers.
It's a B.
I'm going to put Adam down for his nap. He's getting grouchy.
He is. Give me Avisayel. I just like to say it, too. Yeah.
I'm going
to
read another email.
All right, go.
It's from Rusty. Dear Clark Sr. and Eddie.
Oh, the movie, National Lampoon's, right?
Yeah, Vacation.
All right.
I have Machado in a dynasty league, but I'm also in the playoffs this year, and I'm looking to move him for guys I can use to win the league, but I don't want to completely sell out. So it's a 10-team head-to-head league. Deep rosters, no limits on the amount of keepers from year to year. Please grade some possible trades.
It's always supposed to not grade these.
It's my understanding.
Yeah. Yes. I give Machado for Starling Marte and Nick Castellanos.
I will give that a B.
I would give that an F.
I was going to say, what am I missing here? Because that sounds like about a D to me.
I don't know. Marte's coming around and we know what he can do.
Yes, is that a better deal than is that better than having Machado who's out for the year? Sure, but I feel like in a keeper league, you're not getting enough.
I mean, let's see. If Machado's coming off the same injury, so he could miss, a month of the season again next year, and we saw how slow he was getting into the swing of things.
Well, at least he suffered it a month earlier.
True.
And, I mean, we're talking keeper league here. I mean, Machado could be an elite at the position in a couple years, if not next year.
Weren't we talking about that when Starling Marte was coming up, too?
I wasn't.
All right.
So next trade.
All right, we're skipping to go.
Well, I'll give it a D. You give it a B.
All right.
I give Machado. I get Anthony Rendon and Ben Revere.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll go B again.
I'll go B minus on that.
I give Machado. I get Starling Marte and Arizmendi Alcantara.
Why does everybody want to trade? Because he's out. But so everybody's trading Machado.
No. This is one guy.
Oh, same guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me an F. So this last one is Alcantara and who?
Marte. Keeper league here.
Yeah, D plus.
I mean, if I said B the first time, I guess I go B. Maybe I just switch both of them to C. We'll just say even.
Try to do better, I think. For no, not you.
Oh, okay.
What was your favorite one?
Come on, Eric.
The Rendon Revere one was your favorite?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read another email. This is what we're going to do. Dear Rock, Paper, and Rock, this is from BB in a medium-sized southern city, but not Nashville, which you guessed last time.
Birmingham.
Yeah, it works. We hear a lot about SPARPs, and rightly so, but what about the opposite phenomenon, relief pitchers as starting pitchers?
CLASPs.
CLASPs, that's what he wrote. Closers as starting pitchers. Admittedly, these exotic creatures are rarer than SPARPs. My league only has two, Mejia and Britton. And they are normally less strategically important, but at this time of year, they can actually be extremely useful in roto leagues. Imagine a typical roto league. This is a long email. Let's see.
Oh, I agree.
Is there a strategy that you could use CLASPs for?
Yeah. In our 2014 league, I was using Mejia as a starting pitcher earlier in the season.
Yeah, okay. I can see in a deep league because
steady production. If I'm getting 20 fantasy points around, because
like the number 4 and 5 stars I'm using that league have been horrible.
Right.
So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The only thing is just in that deep of a league, are you gonna be able to have those guys and somebody useful in your in your relief spots?
It's deeper formats, no doubt.
Yeah. So. Other than that, I'm not sure I see the benefit, because in a roto league, there's not dedicated.
Yeah.
Most roto leagues, anyway, there's not dedicated.
No, right.
Starter relief spots.
And the thing at the time, I had Uehara and another relief pitcher. So I had 3 relievers in my lineup getting saves. And I was like, listen, I'll take 20, 20, 20. That's 60 points from all 3 of those guys if it was consistent like that. So
I have to apologize again for zoning out. I'm doing my best. And hopefully this was helpful. Good stuff. Back tomorrow with some starter sit for week 23 with Al and Scott. Have a good one, everybody. For Michael Hergerman, I'm Mel Giora, I'm Adam Azer. See ya.